We're here to talk about your new album, Lasers and Poison. And you've done so much already. And of course, so many people know you from Underground Hustlin'. It seems like this is a particularly special album, though. This has a lot going on with it.
This album is extremely special. I'll just give you a brief like rundown of how the album came about. You know, I was a pretty thorough, pretty adamant recording artist, you know, in the early 2000s through like maybe 2007, 2008. And then UGH sort of took over my life. For those of you who don't know Underground Hustlin', it's my artist services company that puts out, you know, frequent mixtapes and also does collaboration brokering and show booking, mixing, mastering, graphic design. I call it Guitar Center for rappers. But
I like that.
Right around the release of my last Fall Guy themed album, 2008, the UGH momentum took over my solo career, my musical endeavors. For the most part, you know, I've been active on features throughout the whole time, but I've, other than the album Real Time and a few EPs and singles, I haven't really put out a full album. Right around the Fall Guy Resurrection time, 2008, I started a new record with the producer Larry Elia, who produced all of the Fall Guy records, Fall Guy EP, Fall Guy Apocalypse 67, Fall Guy Trapped Inside, Fall Guy Resurrection, Separated at Birth, and some other intrinsic hip-hop stuff. Right after Fall Guy Resurrection, I started a project with him where I wanted, you know, Fall Guy Resurrection had very heavy samples. Like every song was a just blatant movie score sample. So I'm like, okay, this next one, we're going to do no samples. We're just going to do like a more stripped down hardcore soundtrack. And so we did four beats. Two of them I released on UGH 34, but the other two I just kept. Me and McNasty recorded to one of them right around that time, 2009, 2010. And the other one never got any recording. I did write the hook mentally, but I never recorded it. So as I went from like house to house, computer to computer, these two files, I labeled them one and two. They just followed me wherever I went. Now, when the quarantine thing happened in 2020, I was like, dude, I'm just gonna do it, right? I got these beats. I got nothing to do now. I can't even go to the beach. So I cracked open the beats and I did the one that I never recorded to, which is now called Built for This. And it is track 10, 11 on Lasers and Poison. I recorded that song and I played it for Stir Crazy. Stir Crazy is like my demo guy. Whenever I do a demo, I send it to him and he's like, yes or no. I sent it to Stir Crazy. He's like, what the fuck is that, bro? And I'm like, yeah, I just started working on these old Fall Guy session beats. And that's what I came up with. He's like, cool. And so out of nowhere, I texted Larry. I haven't talked to him other than like, you know, a few little odd jobs and, you know, advice questions. And I'm like, hey, bro, can you mix a song for me? He's like, yeah. I'm like, how soon? He's like, tomorrow? I'm like, cool. So I got the session already. I sent it to him. He's like, yeah, man. Since COVID, I lost my biggest account. It was like a $50,000 a year live events account, which obviously no live events last year. So I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, I was surprised you could do it so quick. So he did the song. He sent it back. I was like, oh, man, this is good. This is really good. So I sent it to George For those of you who don't know, I work very closely with Magic Ninja Entertainment, doing all their collab brokering, all of their, you know, opening act booking and just random stuff I do with George. I've been a friend of George, you know, before this album in 2008 came out. So I've been working with George. He was one of the first, I mentioned this on one of my tracks, he was one of the first guys to put an artist named Ajax on an underground hustling seat. I think it was number 2 or 3. So I've known George a long time. And when Magic Ninja split from Psychopathic, you know, he used me in different capacities. Anyway, I'm like, hey, George, check this out. He's like, who is that? I'm like, it's me. He's like, I like it. Can you get me 12 more songs like that? I was like, yeah, would you put it out? He's like, don't quote me on it, but I think we can figure something out for you. So I quickly said, okay, McNasty, I need you to finish your verse on the second song. We recorded the chorus. We do the chorus together. I recorded my verse back in Scottsdale 12 years ago, or whatever, 10 years ago. I kept the same files. I said, just add a verse to this, and we got song number 2, which is called End of the World, and it's number 13 on Lasers and Poison. I sent it to George. He's like, cool, man. So from there, I'm like, okay, Larry, I need 10 more beats. He's like, no problem. So we kept sending them and sending them and sending them. Now we're at, I actually cut 2 of the songs off of here, but we were at 18 songs.
Now cut them just for space or cut them to possibly use them on something else later?
Yeah. So at the end of the process, I'm like, okay, George, I have 18 songs plus the 26 track UGH record. He's like, it's your project, but are there any songs that don't necessarily fit on there? You know, you can release them all, but you know, you're after 12 or 14, you're just sort of, you're wasting your money because people are going to buy it regardless. So I'm like, okay, I took off 2 of the songs. The last 2 songs we recorded just because they were sort of heading in a new direction. They're actually the 2 best songs from the whole session, but in my opinion, but they're going to be on the follow-up. So back to the original story, I just kept sending them the demos as they came in. And then I got a few artists involved. I reached out to Crypto Man, who pretty much sponsors anything I'm part of, Dynasty, and Skeptic. And I'm like, this is what I'm doing. Do you want to be on a track? And so they agreed. And so those tracks are on there. So that's why I didn't cut too many of them, because I had, you know, previous agreements. And we put Toy Gory 2 on there, which Jesse and I were working on the song. I was doing all the live stuff, and it just wasn't good enough for me. And I'm like, Toy Gory 2 has to wipe Toy Gory 1 off the map. So Larry finished that song as well. And so right around, you know, song 10, 11, whatever, you know, we started brainstorming, and I started putting videos together and sending them over to George. And he's like, yeah, man, you know, you got a release on Welcome to the Underground. It's your release, basically. So put it all together, right? So I'm like, okay, well, we need a UGH to go with it, because this album, Resurrection, had UGH4 packaged with it. And to be honest, I spent probably 20 plus thousand on this record between videos, graphics, mixing, mastering, feature, you know, the whole shebang. So I'm like, I'm going to make that money back or some of it with the UGH. So I'm like, who can we get to host it? And George is like, well, Twisted won't do it. You've used everyone else on the label. So originally we had Jared of Head PE slated. That didn't work. So I'm like, what about Draven? He's like, I never would have thought of that. So we got Draven, the drummer of Twisted, who also did some stuff with, you know, Static X and some other industrial metal bands to host it. And that's when I opened up the production of Larry to the Underground Hustlin' Kids. So then we did the 26-track UGH hosted by Draven with the Tron Avatar themes, which was used in the title track's animated music video. And we packaged it with Lasers and Poison. It's a 2-disc, 44 songs in total. I had everything done months ago. But, you know, fourth quarter is a tough month to sell records because you're dealing with the bigger, the M&Ms and the Twisteds of the world. So now we have a release date of February 26th with one single from the LP coming out per week leading up to that date and per week until all the videos are done, plus another video on the from the UGH release per week until those are run out. And so, yeah, that brings me from the inception of the project to the current date of right now, in which we are speaking.
Very nice. Now, is there an overarching theme to the album, or does each track tackle different topics?
That is a great question. When I was getting into album mode, I was playing with my son in the backyard, and he had like a dart gun, or like he was doing a fake finger gun, and he said, I have lasers and poison, I'm shooting you. I'm like, what? He's like, I have lasers and poison. I was like, boom. That, like, to me, that little title was just, I loved that title.
That's awesome. And so your son actually named the album.
My son named the album, and we'll get to more of that in a bit. But so I said, George, what do you like better, poisons and lasers or lasers and poison? He's like, for sure, lasers and poison. Because I couldn't remember how Henry said it. My son said it, but the two words were glued into my brain. So from there, I'm like, lasers and poison. To a kid, right, it's just lasers and poison. To an adult, and my interpretation of it was modern day bread and circuses. Like the lasers are the computer screens, the cell phones, the technology, and the poisons are the GMOs, the vaccines, the recreational drugs, the pharmaceutical drugs, and all the chemicals they're spraying in the sky and putting in your water supply. I would say because of that, all of the songs, for the most part, fit the theme of modern day distractions and hazards.
And it's definitely interesting you say that, because of course the first single off of there is Amphetamine Suicide. So that seems obviously, you know, setting the tone for what people can expect from the project.
Right. And Amphetamine Suicide, was a song that was already sessioned back in the Fall Guy Resurrection era. So that one in particular, I didn't really have a full creative control, because the song was already there. The chorus was already there, but I feel like I did a very good job in putting it in that lasers and poison box. Also due to the fact that the song was originally called Losing My Mind. We'll come back to that. But Amphetamine Suicide is what we called it, since he says that, Jason says that in the chorus. So we ran with that. And Amphetamine Suicide is obviously a very poison type of theme. So yeah, that will be the lead single dropping, which is probably already out at the time of this, but it's dropping in less than a week, which would be January 25, 2021.
Now, what made you choose that as the lead off single? And I know you're releasing videos for just about every track off of the project, correct?
Right. So when we put the original plan together, each member of the record label, each, like, between the publicist and George and myself and the production, we each had a favorite song or video. Like, some of these, the video is better than the song. It's like, okay, well, this song isn't that good, but the video is so good that the song is by default better. So part of this was, okay, so we're gonna start dropping singles in February with the pre-order. And so I'm like, I need, like, the UGH kids have been waiting so long. And for me, it's like, I, in the back of my head, it's always like, these people think I owe them stuff. And I just want to deliver it because it just eats at me. You know what I'm saying? Even though most of them are totally patient, totally cool, totally understanding of everything that's going on, it's like having a giant, like, crap right after, like, being constipated for a week, like, just shipping all this product and satisfying all these customers. So I was like, look, after we made the schedule, I'm like, Amphetamine Suicide to me is like, you can't not like the, like, if you're a fan of punk, metal, or hip hop, there's something in it for everyone. And there's, if like, you can't not like that song between the verses, you know what I'm saying? I'm spitting like super crazy, multiple syllable, metaphoric, somewhat fast, very fast for my normal tempo verses. We got a strung out feature on the pre-chorus, and we go into some like As I Lay Dying / For Whom the Bell Tolls Metallica riffs throughout the song. And so I'm like, I feel like that would be the best. And I even say, having a ball tonight, I'm Walter White, your first fix read, grab a bong or pipe. I'm like, okay, this is the first track and this is going to pull you in. So there was a lot there to why I chose that song to be like, it's on an off day. Like, you don't normally release music on a Monday, I guess. I don't know how the business works, but that's why I chose that. Number one, to let people know this is coming sooner, as soon as possible. And number two, because it has that effect where I think it's, in my opinion, it's like not necessarily the best song, but it's like the song that makes the biggest statement.
Nice. And you hit on something else that I think is really important for people to know about the record as well. While people do, you know, especially like you said, your career has been so dominated by the UGH mixtape series for so long, people definitely associate you with the rap side of what you do. But this is just as much a rock record for the people who haven't heard it yet.
Right. And, you know, my roots are rock. I've been in punk bands since the early 90s. I'm a drummer by trade. And so just a quick biography. I was in many punk bands from Phoenix to Washington, D.C., back to Phoenix. And then we were always like more of like melodic hardcore, which you know, it's like metal with, you know, punky undertones. So my roots are rock, and my roots as a vocalist are also in rock. When Fall Guy started, we were like a hardcore band, like an Earth Crisis, Hate Breed, melodic hardcore band. And then we got put on a show with Twisted. And from there, our sound evolved to a rap rock style. Larry Love, Larry Elia is the founding member and guitar player of Bionic Jive. So we were molded early on as this like more metal version of a rap metal band, right? So once I knew Fall Guy was at its end, like, you know, I've been in bands so long that I can tell, okay, it's not over, but it's ending, right? We're still going to probably do an album and another tour or so, but it's over. Like, you know, when you're with a girl, you're like, it's pretty much over, but I'm going to fuck it as much as I can. And like, you know what I'm saying? Before I have to go back on the market, I'm just going to get as much pussy and blowjobs as I can. So with this record, I'm just going back to my roots. With the Intrinsic shit, it's like hip hop is more cost effective. I don't need a whole band. I can mix and master it on my own without it sounding horrible. And so I just went back to my roots. Most of my true fans know that Fall Guy is it's my sound. So this album will be an alternative release for numerous reasons. Number one, we think it has the best odds of getting charted as an alternative release. Number two, it's not hip hop at all. And it's not really metal. So it's like alternative hip rap metal, you know? So it's definitely, I would call it metal, but is the average like Obituary, Cannibal Corpse, Darkest Hour, Unearthed fan gonna like it? It's possible, but you know, it's more in that realm of like industrial experimental punk metal rap.
Now, once, you know, assuming things kind of open up again, as you mentioned, you know, live shows aren't something that's happening right now, is this a record you intend to tour behind?
You know, at this point, no. If it explodes and there's a demand for it, you know, I've contemplated different scenarios and like how I would deliver this record live. And the only way I would do it is with a band. There's no way that this record would have any justice behind it if I was doing backing tracks. So there would need to be a relatively large demand for the show, as well as I'm in Hawaii, so that's strike one. Just getting to the mainland is, you know, a feat. And then I need to find a tour. You know, I'm not going to just DUI tour this record, but if the demand, you know, comes along, there's a few options. But I would say if I was betting my life savings that there would be no live shows for this record.
Now, you did mention earlier as well that this album is going to include Toy Gory 2 and that you're hoping to top everything that happened with Toy Gory 1. For anyone who doesn't know, that was a cipher off of UGH that got tons of publicity. So without giving too much away with it, what can people expect from part two? Because there's a lot of people who are not just anticipating the album and the next UGH, but Toy Gory 2 specifically as well.
Yeah, so Toy Gory 2... we'll start from the lyrics. The director and I had a brainstorm session and we came up with a plot, a storyboard. Each artist signed on, we said, your verse is about this. So the song follows a story, whereas part one did not. So lyrically, there's that. Vocally, I think the artists did a better job. There's like sort of like a reoccurring theme. There's like a seance-y hook, a spell, if you will, hook that occurs more than one time throughout the piece. And I think vocally, like not just lyrically, but, you know, in terms of the delivery and performance, that is a level up as well. Musically, it's not even apples to apples. Larry, like when you hear it, it's just so big. The mix is better. The guitar is better. The live instruments are out of this world. When people heard their parts back after months of waiting, because I couldn't get it, dude. I was like, Jesse, I don't get it, bro. The first one I just riffed better to it. This next one, I just had this mental vision. I'm like, it just needs to be bigger. There needs to be live drums. The contrast between synth and live has to be more dynamic. And so I'm like, Larry, this is your job. And within like a day, bro, like one session, he's like, here it is. I'm like, God damn, it's just so good. So musically, it's not even comparable. And sonically, like his mixes are just better than mine. Everyone sounds better. And then, so the video is like the final factor. And the artist's videos are better because they follow a theme. They follow the storyline. And so far, we've had, if people knew how daunting this task has been, between the action figures being over a year late, prototypes failing, paint not looking right, COVID shutdown ports from China to US, finally getting the figures at the office in Magic Ninja in Detroit, and then Twisted not wanting the toys to ship until the release date. I'm like, bro, I need the figure for the music video. Twisted says no. Fine. Finally get the figure. The producer, the video, the animator gets the figure. And right as he's starting to shoot, he lives in a house. He rented the basement out to the female star and her parents. They have like a revolving door of COVID. So the daughter gets it, passes it to the mom. They almost get better, passes it to the male. The male boy actor passes it to the producer, to the makeup. They're all in the same house. I'm like, man, I don't want to hear COVID anymore. So fast forward to right about now. The existing female, I don't know anything. This is all like probably personal stuff, but the existing female child actor, which is, you know, we're dealing with gore and violence and children. So it's a whole nother legal release form thing. They back out of the project after shooting everything except one scene. So we lose that footage because they backed out. They won't sign the releases. Now we have the new actress and we're supposed to resume shooting this weekend and be done in February. But I mean, the last one dropped September 11th of 19. So we're like, you know, already almost, you know, a year and a half away, you know, the song's been done, right?
Right.
So that's that. The action figure is more, what's the word they use? Articulated. The artist videos are better. The storyline is very, you know, I'm like, I'll just pay you, not twice, but one and a half times what I paid you for the last one to make sure this one's even better. So we got the bigger budget, the better action figure, the better audio, the better everything. So I feel like when all is said and done, this thing should be a masterpiece.
Nice. And I mean, I can attest to having seen some of the videos from Lasers and Poison so far. The quality of the video work is incredible on everything so far.
Thank you. Yeah, going into this, I knew where the recording artist's level of quality in terms of visual and consistency needed to be. So, I'm like, okay, I got to shoot, if I go down the track list, Lasers and Poison has a video, Dinosaurs has a video, Force Fed Famine has a video, Chemicals has a video, we're working on Lizard Tongues right now, Lied To has a video, Amphetamine Suicide, Broadcast, Losing My Mind, we're working on right now, Try to Stay Alive, End of the World doesn't, First World Problems does, and Toy Gory. So that's 12 videos. Slash visuals. Some are lyric videos, some are like animated things. Plus we're doing visuals for like 9 of the UGH songs. So I knew we needed higher quality videos, consistent drops. And so here we are.
Well, definitely all looks amazing. Now, I know we're getting the double CD of that. Is there any plans for a possible vinyl release or anything of Lasers and Poison in the future?
I do the UGH things because I got 14 people helping. I think what I want to do with Lasers is kind of see the reaction. And then if there is a demand, do a GoFundMe, a Kickstarter, some sort of like, because pressing vinyl is not cheap. And I would also either need to do a double vinyl or narrow it down to like 10 to 12 tracks. So there's a lot of moving pieces and variables there to where it could be something that happens in 5 years with a re-release type of thing. Or, if this thing goes viral, blows up my fan base, tenfolds, then maybe we can do a Kickstarter. I didn't even say this at the beginning of our interview, but number one, I appreciate everything that you have done personally, specifically in the vinyl space. You've helped, with the first vinyl and then, executive producing the third vinyl. So I really appreciate all your support. And also with the UGH submissions and the features and all the stuff we've been doing. So thank you there. And so that's also a question for yourself, if this blows up, I know you're down to team up. So I would just need, a pool of other investors. So, right. And I know without asking that based on your original interest that you are interested indeed on doing that. It's just,
absolutely.
Do we make it a double? Do we make it a single? Do we cut songs? Do we add bonus tracks? So I would say it's a 50-50 at this point.
Nice. Well, I don't want to keep you too long. So just to wrap up, you did mention a couple of tracks got put to the side, that those are going to be sort of the jumping off point for the next project. Now, yep. Is there, doing this record and having the push behind it that it has, like you mentioned, the Magic Ninja team and having publicists and things like that. Do you feel a different kind of pressure going into it, or is it more of an excitement for what could happen?
Yeah, it is an excitement, bro. They're like, well, when this product is done, strike while it's hot. So funny you ask, like, I did an EP called Apartment 306 that I only released digitally. So we're actually doing a split EP right now, which features Ugly, UGHLY. That was a Crossworm project. I did a 6-song EP, and then Apartment 306. I just finished the bonus track to that, which is like, I'll play it for you after this call, but it's like this fucking reggae, like like my wife was like, why did you send me that reggae song? I'm like, that was me. She's like, what? So it, like, it's something you'll never expect from Intrinsic, but bro, I'm so pumped. I'm in here every day, 4 hours a day doing vocals and getting ready for this this follow-up. So I cut the song. I sent you the video for where we shot it at the beach. To me, it was like, I wasn't ready for that to come out. So that's going to be on there. So that video is super high production value. I already have the Faith No More cover I did for it. I have two other songs that are already mixed for it. So I'm writing, bro. We're doing nice. It. I'm doing other projects like this really. And now that I'm in this rhythm, right, where I'm writing every day, I'm recording every day, I'm being creative, I'm making videos. Now I'm writing songs, starting with the video first and going, you know, like, okay, I want a video like this. So I need a beat like this, a chorus like this, a bridge like this, a guitar solo like this. So I'm thinking, I'm reverse engineering things in my head. I don't feel any pressure, bro, because I only get better, bro. Like, the more I practice whatever I do, the better I get. So I already played some of these tracks for people and they're like, yeah, it's not to discount Lasers and Poison, but it's already next level. So Larry's doing the record already. I'm talking to Crossworm about another EP. I got the Apartment 306 Ugly EP. We're going to, right when the pre-orders start for this, we're going to be like, boom, limited to 100 copies. Bam, sell those out. This bonus track, I already got a video going for that. So I am stoked on being an artist again. And my life now supports, I have enough free time to be an artist and a UGH boss. So I can still do the UGH thing without taking anything away from my music, solo music, and I can do my solo music without taking anything away from UGH. So, bro, I am so stoked for this project. I'm so stoked for the future of Intrinsic. I feel like this is gonna put me out there beyond where I've ever been. And only good things will come, not just for me, but for those who have me on a song already, for those who are on UGH, because UGH as a platform is going to level up many steps. And so this is a win-win for everyone. So not just you, brother, but thank you to everyone who has ever supported, donated, contributed to features, to mixing, mastering, graphic design, video editing, compilation slots, whatever we've been selling, merch. Like, just thank you. This is a win for all of us. And I'm sure you can't tell, but I am so fucking amped for this, bro.
Nice. Well, I hope everybody listening to this checks out the album. We check out the description on whatever platform you have this on so that you can pre-order as well.
Yeah, there'll be a pre-order at mnestore.com. There'll be a Carnivore on the Mic t-shirt. There will be a Lasers and Poison snapback, And there will be the CD, which is a two CD set, 40, what did I say, 44 songs or something. That's like hours. I remember when I did the masters and I had to listen to the masters to make sure there was no flaws or skips. And it was like, oh, I got to sit through like 2.5 hours.
As I say, that's a day of sitting there listening.
Oh, and the UGH, plus no cars have CD players anymore. But I remember the UGH song 25 had a fucking skip in it. I'm like, I got a fucking, and then, you know, I mailed the masters on Thanksgiving, right? And we're all like, production's going, the CD inserts are done, the books are done, the cases are ordered. I'm like, 5 days from my ship date, and my assistant in LA calls me and she says, we never got the masters. I'm like, dude, the tracking says you got the masters. UPS, USPS for COVID is just, she's like, we never got the masters. I'm like, your name is on the master. So she's like, get it, FedEx it to me and I'll do a 1 day turnaround. So I had to turn around. I was driving, like, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to the beach. I turned around, I burned the masters. I ripped them on my phone, MP3, and I mailed them, and then I'm just driving around hoping none of the MP3s have any quality issues. And then when I got my advanced copy, I tested it. So I didn't even test it. I was just like, man, we got to get this done. But you know, like, these are setbacks, and every single song has a setback. Every single video has a setback. The vinyl has a setback, but it's done. The vinyl's not done. I get the test press early February, but I'm saying it's all done.
Right.
We overcame many obstacles, from the Toy Gory to the lost masters to the contests to I had problems uploading it to digital because they're like, you don't have clearance forms from Twisted or Jamie Madrox. So the label had to say, this is our release. You know, it's just one thing after another. Amphetamine suicide cover, too graphic, you know, but it's all done. And I know people who listen to underground hip hop, rap metal, new metal, punk, alternate, like, there's something for everyone.